From the Carver Center for Public Radio, this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. KUAF is supported by Northwest Arkansas Media, publishers of Northwest Arkansas Times, Springdale and Rogers Morning News, Benton County Daily Record, and the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. These daily newspapers offer local, state, national, and international news, plus business and Razorback news. NWAOnline.com for more information.
KUAF is supported by Urban Jungle Tropical Plant Care and Rental, offering a variety of indoor plants and planters for home or commercial spaces. Urban Jungle serves Benton and Washington counties with maintenance-free, month-to-month care and services. More information is available at 466-5033.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, the band Elephant Revival stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio this month to talk about their instruments, their social causes, and play some music. We'll hear three songs from the band in advance of their performance tomorrow night at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art.
First, Pulaski County Circuit Judge Tim Fox has struck down Arkansas's voter ID law. The Pulaski County Elections Commission brought the suit challenging just one provision of the 2013 law added in February by the State Board of Election Commissioners. The suit argued the State Board overstepped its authority by implementing a rule not contained in the legislation granting absentee voters additional time to show ID. Pulaski County Commissioner Chris Burks says it made sense for Judge Fox to examine the entire law.
The court looked at the law and said, yes, I've been asked to rule on this part of the law, but in considering this part of the law, I have to consider the whole law and the Constitution of Arkansas. So I think the ruling really reflects fidelity with the Arkansas Constitution.
Burke says he expected the ruling would strike down the entirety of the law and that any further changes to election law should wait until after the coming primary election.
It's important to consider how do you practically administer elections? And if you have a ruling taking down the entire law, then you have a stay, I think that promotes confusion. So, I think the order today was very clear, and you want to promote stability within the law. You don't want confusion. So I would hope that we can just go forward under the old law and not have the 595 be put back in place with a stay pending appeal.
Burke says he believes the ruling, finding the voter ID law presented an unconstitutional barrier to voting, helps safeguard Arkansans' rights to vote. Republicans pushed for the law last year and overrode a veto by Governor Mike Beebe, saying voter ID legislation was needed to prevent voter fraud.
The Arkansas Supreme Court says it will not reconsider its decision to reject a $1.2 billion judgment against a pharmaceutical company accused of improperly marketing an antipsychotic drug. Justices last month overturned a Pulaski County ruling that favored the state. In a 4-3 decision yesterday, the court turned down a request by Attorney General Dustin McDaniel to consider the case again. McDaniel reacted to the decision in an interview with Talk Business and Politics.
Well, I'm not surprised. I'm certainly disappointed because the rationale that the court used was completely new and foreign to the case, an issue that was never raised by any of the parties over the last 7 years. And they now create, in every case in Arkansas, the potential risk of malpractice for lawyers because they say you can no longer trust what's printed in the law books. The law that we've been litigating has been printed in the red leather books for the last 21 years, and no one ever questioned it.
McDaniel also says the court's interpretation of the law in its decisions undermines more than 170 years of precedent.
The Arkansas Supreme Court has the reputation of being a results-oriented court. They get whatever result they want, and they craft the law to match what they want done. And in this case, they came up with something that no one had even argued. It undercuts the credibility of our court, and it completely takes away from the Attorney General the ability to ever go after a drug manufacturer, no matter what they did or how guilty they are. In this case, the drug manufacturer pleaded guilty to a federal felony and paid $2.2 billion in fines, and I'm told we're never allowed to prosecute them or anyone else.
McDaniel says the court was wrong when it said the state misapplied a Medicaid fraud law in its case against Johnson & Johnson. The state had claimed the company didn't properly communicate the risks of the drug Risperdal and shouldn't have marketed it for off-label use. The company argued there was no fraud and that Arkansas's Medicaid program wasn't harmed.
U.S. Senator John Bozeman remains in the hospital today as he continues to recover from heart surgery earlier in the week. Senator Bozeman has been in stable condition since the emergency operation to correct an acute aortic dissection. Yesterday, doctors moved the senator from the intensive care unit to a private recovery room, and Senator Bozeman was conversational with family for long periods of the day and able to walk frequently with the help from medical staff.
State health officials and legislators discussed the greater-than-projected cost of the private option yesterday during a meeting of the Public Health, Welfare, and Labor Committee. Steve Schramm with the actuarial firm Optimus worked with the Department of Human Services on enrollment stats for the private option. Schramm said the demographic of the private option has skewed 2 years older than projected. He also argued that the higher-than-projected monthly cost of $24 per person would come down in the future.
The emerging experience from other states is actually that the later enrollments are younger than the earlier enrollments. And so I believe because of Arkansas's pre-enrollment process, we may have masked that somewhat. So it's reasonable to assume, based on other states' experience, that in fact this may be the high point of the average age.
Health officials stressed to legislators that the private option program is relatively new and that age demographics and costs will continue to change as the health profile of the overall private option enrollment shifts. In the meantime, the federal government is expected to allow for adjustments in cost to continue paying for 100% of the program until after 2016.
Bentonville's Tree and Landscape Advisory Committee will give away trees to city residents tomorrow. 120 trees, including bubblegum redbuds, kiefer pears, and superior plums, will be given away beginning at 9 tomorrow morning at Lawrence Plaza on Northeast A Street. Those seeking free trees will have to provide a photo ID and utility bill for proof of residency in Bentonville.
Road work this weekend will cause some lane closures in Springdale. According to the city, roadway repairs will require the closure of both inside lanes of Huntsville Avenue for 500 feet east and west of Henshaw Street. The closure will last from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Sunday. A work zone will be set up to divert traffic to the outside lanes of the area while the pavement repair is being conducted.
Also this weekend, in and around Fayetteville, the Joe Martin Stage Race. While road race segments of the event will take place today and tomorrow and put cyclists on roads as far south as Rudy and Figure 5, Sunday's race will take place throughout downtown Fayetteville, and there will be some street closures and detours on Sunday as well.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals last night closed out the home series against Springfield. The Nats lost to the Cardinals 8-2. The loss puts the Naturals at 6-14 on the season. The Naturals hit the road tonight to begin a four-game home-and-home series against Tulsa.
Tonight, clear, lows in the lower 50s throughout the region. Sunshine tomorrow, highs around 85. And for Saturday night, cloudy, 20% chance of rain, maybe a thunderstorm in northwest Arkansas. 30% chance of rain for the Arkansas River Valley. Lows tomorrow night, very pleasant, around 65. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley, the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers news, business, politics, and much more for the entire region. And a happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday. It's almost an oxymoron, isn't it? Happy Friday.
Or the opposite of an oxymoron.
I mean, yeah.
Oxymoron. Repetitive.
Oxymoron. I meant redundant.
Yes.
I meant redundant.
Happy from Monday.
from the Department of Redundancy Department, we have Happy Friday.
That's right. Well, speaking of happy, a new survey, a new poll shows that the workers in Fort Smith are among the happiest in the country.
Yeah, and but in Northwest Arkansas, they didn't rank. When this was brought to my attention, I just, oh, well, that doesn't make sense. It just doesn't, you know, it doesn't pass the really test. But it's a Gallup poll. I mean, USA Today and Gallup, it's not just some, you know, something somebody threw together, but it showed that, essentially showed that workers are happy. And from what we can tell, we've talked to some HR folks, it's just that this comes from the workplace, having a good workplace, having good management. You know, and one of our first thoughts was, well, maybe, you know, in Northwest Arkansas, as dynamic and as hot as that economy is, you know, you do have some of these large corporations, and there can be a lot of pressure. Those situations can be pressure cookers for some folks. So,
What I thought was interesting of the HR, the human resources people that you talked to, so many of them said, you'll hear people say they switch jobs because of money, but it's often because they simply didn't like their superiors.
Yeah, they couldn't. They couldn't take the either the superiors or the pace of the work. And so, I mean, that was interesting. And we had the one HR, I think Mr. Harris, man, he works for Boast here in Fort Smith. And he talked about, you know, the leadership. You know, if you you've ever worked for a real leader, you'll always remember that person, no matter how many jobs you take. And, you know, you'll often try to find that leader in the next jobs you take. So, but overall, I mean, it was a not, it was a pleasant surprise to know that, you know, at least folks, the economy may not be red hot in Fort Smith, but at least workers are happy.
I imagine many of our listeners who do not live close to Fort Smith may have never even thought of the words Port of Fort Smith. But, of course, the Arkansas River goes right by, and the Port of Fort Smith is in a little bit better shape with its infrastructure now because of some new railings.
Yes, much better shape. And, yeah, you're correct. You know, it is an inland port on the inland waterway. And there's also, of course, a port of Van Buren and Five Rivers Distribution. They manage both of these, the port of Fort Smith and Port of Van Buren. And in this most recent fiscal year, Arkansas fiscal year, Senator Jake Files from Fort Smith, Senator Bruce Holland, Representative McGill from Fort Smith, Representative Malone from Fort Smith, they were able to direct some money toward improving the rail tracks in the Fort Smith area, and that opens up a whole new mode of transportation. Previously, you know, when the steel or raw commodities or whatever come in to the port, either from the river or come in to the port to go on the river, it was by truck only, and that's not often the most convenient way. And if you're just limited by truck, you know, you're limited by the clients and that kind of thing. So, Five Rivers has been leasing the port, Fort Smith, for a while. They've put a lot of money into it, put a lot of effort into it. Previously, the Port of Fort Smith was almost an afterthought. So it's nice to see, you know, this, I think, close to $100,000 grant from the state, maybe $85,000, I think it was, come in here and replace these tracks. Some of these were 43 years old, and they couldn't load the rail cars very much, or sometimes they couldn't even use them. So it's definitely a step up for the Port of Fort Smith.
Well, and there are people who have much bigger plans for the Port of Fort Smith.
Right. I mean, you know, yes, and Marty Schell, who's with Five Rivers, talked about, you know, we get the rail, we get this, and we're seeing trends improve on the river. You know, there could be more warehouse, more docks built there. You know, one of the things that though we'll need for that port and Port of Van Buren to become even more active is for the manufacturing community in the region to grow. Based on employment numbers, the manufacturing is still struggling to grow in the Fort Smith area.
And finally, Walmart has released its first global compliance report. It's a report that shows the retailer has spent some money on legal fees associated with this investigation into foreign corruption.
Well, yeah, some money, $439 million and counting. They could spend another $100 to $200 million in the next couple of years. But, we've kind of been waiting for this. This is part of what Walmart is required to do, put out a compliance report each year. And I say Walmart has to do. Their audit committee, the Walmart Board of Directors, has required them to do this. So it's not an outside group. But, you know, they're under investigation for potential allegations of bribery and corruption in Mexico, India, Brazil, and China. And, you know, Walmart is, you know, I know some people hate them, some people love them. But from a journalist standpoint, you know, it's interesting to see that Walmart is taking this serious and spending the money on this. Part of that money includes bringing in, I think, 10 to 12 compliance officers to make sure that, you know, the laws in the different nations are followed and this doesn't happen again. So, but this is not over, Kyle. There could still be some charges at some point, and some former or even current Walmart execs may face some legal jeopardy over this.
And $439 million, I know for me sometimes it gets hard to keep track of what is big money for the world's largest retailer. But $439 million with up to $100, $200 more in the next couple of years, that is a lot of money, right?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of money even for Walmart. You know, and keep in mind, Walmart makes $15-16 billion a year in net income. But you know, but that's still, you know, you're close to $500 million. So that'll add up. I mean, those are, that's money that can't go to shareholder dividends. That's money that, you know, can't be put in back to technology acquisitions and those kind of things. So even for Walmart, that's real money. But hopefully, if they get a compliance system in place and take the right measures, then they won't face this type of legal jeopardy in the future. And if that's the case, that'll be money well spent.
Finally, I know you, like me, a sports fan. The Arkansas Razorback football team has its annual red-white game, which is not even really a game. Is this the sort of thing you follow and will pay attention to?
Well, we do, you know, through our tusk-to-tail crew, these mm-hmm. guys that have been following the Razorbacks for more than 10 years, they traveled like 9,500 miles last year to keep up with the Razorbacks. Some of that, the tusk-to-tail crew may attend. I know last year they wrote a kind of a tongue-in-cheek write-up on it, but I'm not sure they're going to do that this year. But I can tell you, folks are after the absolutely dismal year last year, people are watching close. I know this year we'd like to at least win one SEC game.
Well, I was going to tell you we'll win Saturday. How's that?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Michael Tilley.
And the bye week.
And the bye week, right. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, sports, and so much more for the region. Michael, thank you so much.
You are welcome, Kyle.
As you know, every week on Wait Wait, our panelists travel out to Chicago to have some fun with the week's news. This week, NPR's new budget-saving travel policy kicks in, and they'll all be stowing away in the wheel well of a 747. Experts say only one of them is likely to survive. Tune in to see if it's Roy Blunt Jr., Kerry O'Connor, or Maz Jobrani on Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me, the news quiz from NPR.
Listen Saturday morning at 9 to KUAF 91.3 FM.
This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, April 25th, 2014. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us, Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
There is no surer sign of spring, well, maybe dogwoods, in the Ozarks than festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's the truth.
Festivals, festivals. We got festivals. Have I got festivals for you?
All right.
How about some chainsaw carving?
Okay.
This weekend in Eureka Springs. Actually, it's going on today.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be like.
It continues through the weekend?
And continues through Saturday. There's like a project today and then a project tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to the coolest guy who is from over by Paducah, Kentucky. He's been going to Carving in the Ozarks for the entire 10 years that it's been going on, with the exception of 1 year, 3 years ago, when he was in China adopting his daughter.
Okay.
Well, then it turns out that the first year he was there, he did well. He won the competition. He got commissions. And that gave him the money to go to Kazakhstan to get his two older children.
Oh.
So he chainsaws.
For kids.
Okay.
Kind of.
Yeah.
He was a really nice guy. And the kids are, the two oldest are 9, and the youngest one is 5. And they will probably be with him this weekend if you want to go and peer at them, because they're adorable.
Well, tell me more about what happens at the festival. They fire up the chainsaws? And
they fire up the chainsaws.
And
you
they
take
make a, art?
They make art.
Mm-hmm.
You take basically a tree stump,
mm-hmm.
which is how he got started doing this. And you take a chainsaw,
mm-hmm.
and you very gently, it looks a lot like frosting a cake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've seen it done once when I was at the Iowa State Fair a couple of years ago. There was a guy who did it, you know, it was one of the demonstrations
mm-hmm.
on the hour every couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so impressive to me, like how graceful
it kind of
looks.
It's very, very nuanced. Like ballet, very
yeah.
like frosting a huge cake.
Because it's this loud, like destructive thing.
Doing these beautiful, intricate designs.
Yeah.
This guy makes like benches that have really intricate animals as
mm-hmm.
the end part of
mm-hmm.
them. And they're just gorgeous.
So does it take long? I mean, you've got a pretty, if it's like frosting, you've got this pretty big knife that you're frosting with.
Couple of hours.
The thing I was at was designed to be a quick, you know, half an hour
right.
long
uh-huh.
thing. There was just a small stump. He was going to make a bear out of it, you
right.
know. But yours is competition, so I'm sure.
And he said, if you come and watch for about 10 minutes, then go away for half an hour. you know, look at other people, and then come back and watch him, that you can really see how it happens.
Okay.
It's very interesting. And it's from 8 to 5 today and 8 to 3 tomorrow, kind of behind Cornerstone Bank in Eureka Springs. And at 4 o'clock Saturday, they'll auction off everything that's been created.
If you can't find it, roll down your windows.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah. Oh, he's the smart one, isn't he?
Isn't he?
This weekend is also the Dogwood Festival, which is some ridiculous number, like 40 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they will have all kinds of fun things from 9 to 7 today and tomorrow and 10 to 5 on Sunday in Siloam Springs. But they have something new that's sort of in conjunction with it that's called the Homegrown Festival.
Yes, I got to talk to one of the organizers of the event, Matt Fireobin.
And it sounds like so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
These are all the things I want to buy and take home.
Yes, they're trying to do sort of a local food and local like craft local artisans festival. And they eventually want it to be its own thing. But they thought this year, you know, let's put it on that Saturday in the middle of Dogwood Festival and kind of piggyback off of that so people can come see what we are.
Right. And I know that Amber and Jonathan Paradin will be there because
they
sent me
a
photo. It says their description is limited run and one-of-a-kind items, including illustration, printmaking, music, jewelry, and accessories, handmade goods, salvaged and repurposed goods, and hand-picked vintage. These are all things I love. This is from 10 to 8 Saturday on Broadway in downtown Siloam Springs. Tomorrow is also Razorfest.
Red-white game, former Razorback signing
I'm actually going to make it this year. I'm really excited.
Are you really?
I've only been once, and it was to, like, cover it. So I'm going once, like, as a spectator, so I'm excited.
Well, this is the 10th year of it. Everything's getting old, which worries me a little. But you know, the concept behind it is that they want to draw awareness. It's Rick and Adelaide Schaefer, and they want to draw awareness to the needs of kids in Northwest Arkansas for the
Champions for Kids
organization. And if you bring a non-perishable food item, which they ask you to do tomorrow, it'll be donated to the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank and the UA Full Circle Pantry.
Excellent.
May Festival of the Arts actually starts this weekend in Eureka Springs.
Even though,
with a festival poster signing by Barbara Kennedy from 1 to 4 and 6 to 9 tomorrow at Sweet Spring Studio. And then next weekend it goes insane. It's not really a festival, but the Dixon Street Pup Crawl is tomorrow.
It's P-U-P, Pup Crawl.
Right.
Puppies.
A festival of doggies. Take your dogs drinking. Wait, that doesn't sound right. That's from 2 o'clock on tomorrow. It's $35 and benefits the Fayetteville Animal Shelter.
And you take your pooch along?
On Dixon Street.
I'm sure they'll have water for them.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my pooch would bark until she needed water. It is Music Fest on Main Street in Van Buren.
Goodness.
That starts at 3 tomorrow with Oreo Blue, Wanda Watson, Mark Albertson, and Bill Flash.
Fun.
And it's free.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a different kind of music festival tomorrow night, a festival of marching band music.
Where is this?
It's the Arkansas Winds performance,
ah,
their 25th anniversary concert, kicking off that year at 7:30 at the Art Center of the Ozarks in Springdale, and it's just $10.
Chainsaws, trees, music, dogs.
Spring.
Spring. There you go.
And of course, half the world, including me, will be at Race for the Cure tomorrow morning in Rogers. And I will be walking in celebration of my stepdaughter, Christy Brown Evans, who so far is winning.
And if you don't want to get up early, they also have the sleep in for the cure.
Exactly.
You just send in the money. Yeah.
But if you're
there,
wave at me. I'll be the tired-looking little round woman.
Thank you, Becca.
Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Doug Stanhope is a stand-up comic who has developed a certain reputation. His act includes wry observations on the human condition, observations that are almost exclusively dark, bleak, and funny. This is Stanhope's take on the United States news media tendency to fearmonger as presented on a BBC television program.
People tend to blame the news as though it's their fault for spreading all this fear, as though there's no market for it. You can't blame the news for making you afraid any more than you would blame horror movies or haunted houses. That's what people are buying into. And the reason that people are buying fear so easily and stockpiling it is you'd much rather believe all that that, you know, immigrants are trying to take your job and terrorists are coming to blow up your Ford Focus in particular. That's far more palatable for people to buy than to accept the reality, which is that probably a statistical high Vegas odds probability is that nothing of any significance will ever happen to you in your entire boring life.
Last year, he earned high critical praise for his work as an actor on the series Louie on FX. Even then, though, he was a character with an ominous aura, a comedian on the downside of a career considering suicide.
I'm cashing in. I'm done. I'm 40 years old. I got nothing. I got nobody. And I don't want anything. I don't want anybody. And that's the worst part. When the want goes, that's bad. I mean, like suffering is one thing, or not having is one thing, but when you just don't care anymore.
Doug Stanhope will be in Fayetteville Friday night performing at Mermaids beginning at 8 p.m. Just before he launched his current tour, a tour that will stretch from Athens, Georgia to Portland, Oregon, I reached him at his home. After he mixed a drink,
get some ice. Okay, let's go.
He discussed his career, the act of writing, and his reputation. He's often described as angry, dangerous, misanthropic. One critic even called him, and this was a compliment, a professional miserablest.
I like that. It's more accurate than the people who say, oh, he's triple X rated, or he's really raunchy. And then people show up with an idea that, you know, at best, I'm some Andrew Dice Clay, or at worst, I remember old people getting upset when they'd come to see the show. Back before I had a following, or people would just go to see comedy just to see whatever is showing up. And they would have no idea what they were just paid $15 to see. And you'd see, like, old people walking out of my shows. And I'd give them and say, hey, you know what? You're the one who came to a triple X-rated show. And I'm the one that's out of line?
Would you rather have, or does it matter, would you rather have an audience that is a lot of people who are familiar with you and are sort of, you know, with you, or an audience that is primarily people who might not know who you are?
I do miss the days of people having no idea who you are, and you just really upset their apple cart because they came in because it was Bev and Fuzzy's 50th anniversary, and they had free tickets to this thing that's right down the street. And you're there, and it all goes horribly sideways. It's, you know, not your fault. It's not their fault. Maybe they should have done a little more research into their big Friday night out. But, I miss those days. It was a horrible awkwardness. There's no going back. People know who I am now, and it's just a different kind of upsetting the apple cart.
These days, of course, people can see someone stand up within hours sometimes. If someone's taking a video and putting it up on YouTube, has that made things different for you?
It hasn't hurt me that much. Because I don't, like, if I was a guy that had, you know, quick, succinct jokes, my bits, I have bits that run 22 minutes.
It's funny because you use the word bit, and for me, it's more, I don't know if anecdote's the right word. I've always thought of bit as something that was, I don't know, and maybe they are. I don't know. I've never been a comic, but maybe these are things that are set and ready to go, and you know how they're going to go. But at least when I'm watching, it doesn't seem that it's a bit in that it's a 1-2-3.
And that's why it sickens you in your gut when someone says, hey, I'm going to stick around for the second show. Can't wait to see what you drum up then. The exact same words, beautifully enacted to look like it's off the top of your head.
But that's part of it then, isn't it? Is it to give me, as the paying person, an experience?
To an extent, it's an act. No one goes up there having no idea what they're going to say, including the Richard Lewis's and Robin Williams that claim to. Even they have an idea. And if you see me two times in a night, I'll probably do the same topics and pretty much the same phraseology. And I'll steer off course as much as I can, but I always know to rope it back in here and anchor it there, swimming with a tether on.
Doug Stanhope, stand-up comedian, will perform Friday night at 8 at Mermaids in Fayetteville. He talked to me from his home on the day before he began his current 5-week tour. This is Ozarks at Large.
Hi, my name is Paul, your host for the Generic Blue Show, which airs every Friday night at 9 o'clock. Join me this Friday. We've got some new acoustic Luther Dickinson. Also, Francine Reed, Cephas and Wiggins, The Insomniacs, Elvin Bishop, Roscoe Gordon, and more. Again, that's the Generic Blue Show every Friday night at 9 o'clock on KUAF. We'll see you then.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And with us, Rhonda Dillard. And as we always say, when Rhonda's in the studio on a Friday, somebody somewhere is going to have a better day than they thought they were going to have.
Yeah, because they're going to win some free stuff. Yay!
Now, let's first give the bad news. The VIP the VIP passes for the Roots Festival
are sold out.
Unobtainable.
Yeah.
If you don't have one yet, and you're not the person that's on the sheet of paper that Antoinette's holding, you waited too long.
I don't think you can get one.
That's bad news if you wanted to go and you can't to the VIP. It's great news for the Roots Festival.
Absolutely. And it's still months away.
Uh-huh. August, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty amazing they've sold out this quick.
I think more than 20 states now represented in the early ticket sales. I mean, this has become a nationally known festival.
Yeah. Pretty impressive.
Yes.
And it's the third year?
This is the fifth.
Fifth year.
Oh, it's the fifth year. Yeah. Where have I been 2 years?
Well, you know, the first year was one night.
It was real small.
That's right. They had
to move at the last minute, their venue, because of a water line break.
Yes,
it was
going to
be a Greenhouse Grill. Then the second year they started to build, and now it's really.
Yeah. It's over the top, and it's fantastic.
It is.
So they do have a couple of single-day tickets available, I do believe. But you know what? They're not going to last.
No, they're not. There aren't that many.
Yeah.
If you want to go and you've been meaning to, you'd...
Better jump on it.
That's right. But now, Antoinette.
Mm-hmm. Dun-da-da-dun. I did not pick this winner. The computer did. Do not put this on me.
Yeah. And I had witnesses. We always have witnesses when the computer picks the name.
This is not my fault.
The drum roll for the Fayetteville Roots Festival 2014. Two VIP tickets.
Winner is Patsy Miller of Eureka Springs. She works at Treehouse Cottage.
Very cool.
So congratulations to Patsy Miller and her plus one.
That's right.
And this is access to everything. Yeah. The Thursday night kickoff.
I absolutely adore the Thursday night kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
It is so fantastic.
The great local food, the craft beer, the very relaxed atmosphere with the bands.
Outside. It's beautiful.
Now, after saying that, you know, the VIPs are gone, there are still some single nights for Lucinda and the Wood Brothers,
yes.
Daryl Scott, Tim O'Brien. There's all sorts of music all over town, too. Mm-hmm. There are the late-night stages at George's and Kingfish and places like that.
And we'll also have the live Ozarks at Large the Friday to sort of kick off the festival.
Right.
So if you can't make it for whatever reason, because there are a lot of things going on or you just couldn't get tickets, we will be having our usual free show at the Fayetteville Public Library. I'm sorry. I'm not awake.
That's the Fayetteville
Public Library right across the street from us here in Fayetteville.
Yeah. And one of the cool things they're going to do this year is at the Walton Arts Center, the tickets will be general admission.
Yes.
So if you get up and leave your seat and, you know, other crowds come in, they don't have to sit in the back.
Right.
The seats are available closer to the front. The artists love that. I mean, nobody wants to sit in the very back.
Well, and it also means if you get there for the first act,
yeah,
you can just hang out. And
yeah, keep your seats all day.
Right.
So I think that's super cool. Being somewhat of a performer at times, it's really nice to have everybody up close instead of seeing people on the balcony when there are empty seats in front.
We've got more giveaways this year.
We do. We have we've got Wakarusa, which is up and coming. We've got Harvest Fest. We've got some other tentative things in the works.
Okay.
So some really great stuff.
Okay. Thank you, Rhonda.
Thanks, guys.
Safe water ensures good health and quality of life. The Beaver Water District, a member of the American Water Works Association, and its partners monitor and protect Beaver Lake, the drinking water source of Northwest Arkansas. Drinking Water Week is May 4th through the 10th. Consider pouring a glass of water and hailing a toast to Beaver Lake. You drink it every day. More information at bwdh20.org.
Opera in the Ozarks presents A Taste of Opera on Thursday, May 8th from 6 until 8 p.m. at Pratt Place Inn in Fayetteville. This fundraiser will include an evening of food, beverage, and song by the Opera in the Ozarks performers. Seating is limited. Tickets and more information available at opera.org.
Walton Arts Center presents singer, composer, and actor Lyle Lovett and his acoustic group May 6th at 7 p.m. This Texas-based musician fuses elements of country, swing, jazz, gospel, and blues in a convention-defying manner that breaks down barriers of music. Tickets and more information available at waltonartcenter.org or 443-5600.
This is Ozarks at Large. The band Elephant Revival may call Colorado home, but they sure must feel comfortable around here as well. They've wowed audiences in the past couple of years at Wakarusa, at the Harvest Festival, and at the Fayetteville Roots Festival. They also have family connections in Tahlequah and Northwest Arkansas. Tomorrow night, they're back, headlining the Art Night Out at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art. Earlier this month, when they were in town for a show at George's Majestic Lounge, the band sat down inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. When Bonnie Payne, Sage Cook, Dango Rose, Daniel Rodriguez, and Bridget Law arrived, they had just pulled into town after a previous night's gig in Lawrence, Kansas. Antoinette began our conversation that afternoon by asking the band about the social causes they champion, something they had mentioned during their appearance at Wakarusa last year.
During one of the press conferences, people were talking about sort of their social causes, and you guys have quite a few. Why do you think it's important as a band to, you know, have something else besides your music that you're working on?
It helps you feel more like a real person, maybe, you know, and we're all multifaceted human beings, every single one of us on this earth probably, so, you know, it's good to have other forms of inspiration and creative outlets. I think it's really healthy.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people coming to the show, too, you know, so it's an opportunity to share some information. Yesterday we had a gal come to the show who's been advocating for the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee, and she had so much information about the situation with elephants right now, you know, how many are left on the planet and what we can do to help, and what the sanctuary is in Tennessee, which is one of the greatest established elephant sanctuaries or places doing really good things for elephants. And some people didn't even know that elephants were even endangered. And sure. They're actually facing extinction within, like, the next decade. So it was a really good opportunity to let a lot of people know.
I think, yeah, it's nice because we're out on the road and when we sort of, by default, act as dot connectors, you know, because you can be active within your own community, but we're so mobile that we can kind of spread a message faster a little bit, you know.
Well, I want to ask about some of the instruments, including starting with the washboard. The washboard is deceptive, I think, because it, at first blush, it looks like something that would be so easy.
Well, I always tapped on stuff. I think people who tap on stuff a lot, like desks, it translates pretty naturally. That's like a different kind of rhythm, and it's more stiff, but it's more natural for some people. But I use the banjo picks, so it's just like tapping on things. That makes it a little. Maybe you should try my washboard gloves.
Well, yeah. No, the gloves are cool. They look cool.
I've seen those. Do you make your own, or can you buy those like that somewhere?
I make them.
The little picks on them. Make yours.
But the banjo picks you can get at any music store. When my grandma passed, I inherited a box of antique driving gloves, and that's what I ended up doing with them: is sewing banjo picks onto them with dental floss.
Oh,
cool.
This is very handy.
Handy.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well, would you like to play something?
Yes. Sure. I'll do Birds and Stars, I guess. Yeah. I'm going to sing the first one.
Loving you here runs so deep. Upon the surface here I sleep. Walk in the dark and light, I'm walking all the day and night. Rivers fall, the ocean side, I fall for you here every time. Like a bead of the flower, a buzz, does a flower question love? Our best quest is pride, beating chests and open minds. I stand here in your midst, I see you through the smoke and mist. Once again for you I fall, underneath the trees so tall. Upon the limbs a nest and dove, and does a birdie question love? Thank you.
Well, that was great. Well, Bridget, before we started, you mentioned that you're going to be reunited with one of your instruments this weekend, right?
Today. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A mandolin?
It's a mandolin that Baird Blaine repaired, who's a Fayetteville local. It's a 1918 Gibson that the top caved in on, and he replicated the top. Yeah. And I called her Antoinette.
Well, how do your instruments decide that they need a name?
That I just like feel connected to a moment with a name. But it works for me. I don't know.
Name or not, you build up a pretty intense relationship with a relation
yeah.
with an instrument. I mean, if you've had that since you were 13.
Yeah, I mean, 18 years I've been playing this instrument. Yeah. I've played lots of fiddles and instruments, and I don't know. I think the connection to this instrument is part of what I love about playing.
Well, how about another song?
She caught me speechless. The words fled, useless, all useless. The moonshine and water, her mother's daughter said she did not love. That's all right, 'cause it's not about me. I won't beat myself up, but she called me, then hung up. I should not let it rain. Small town living, well, she swears soon she's leaving. Say to myself over and over, over and over, oh, that's all right. She finally left that night. Change. Oh.
to the sea and the mess we made. Oh, it's history and the dirt I'll be. I'll wait patiently and the dirt will be.
Oh, wow, that was great. Yeah, that was, thank you.
Cool.
I think the thing that I find most wonderful about this band is that there is no, you don't know what to expect the first time you hear a song, you know, and it can go anywhere. And you break all sorts of expectations or boundaries or limits or genres. Do you feel like that when you're playing? That it could go anywhere? Or when you're writing?
Yeah, yeah, maybe when you're writing, yeah. When we're writing, I do sometimes, yeah. Yeah, there's no... Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to fit in a certain box or anything, yeah.
Well, what is the writing process for you guys? Because all of you sort of contribute, right? It's not just like one person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all write on our own and a lot of times and bring stuff to the band and also collaborate from time to time as well. But I guess that's the process in a nutshell.
Sure.
Everybody has a lot of creative freedom to come up with their parts.
And so yeah. What is that like then when you're recording? Do you pretty much know when you get into the studio what it's going to be, or is there still that spirit of experimentation?
No, you got to have a little bit of experimentation. That would be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, sometimes we go into the studio and we're about to record a song that we've played for 5 years, and the parts are pretty much arranged, and then just this last time we recorded a couple songs that were, you know, a couple weeks old, so the parts came up right there in the studio on the spot.
We learned there at the studio the songs. Yeah.
Well, one more.
See there down at the liquor store, going to drink those troubles and some more down at the old Rogue River. That old Rogue River, down at the old Rogue River. That old Rogue River, you were daddy's sunshine days. He left for good, went down to his grave. Mother Mary, full of grace, won't you watch these children in my place? I'm going under the river, that old Rogue River. I'm going under the river, that old Rogue River. Seems that nothing could be said by song. There's a watching over her and sisters to mama and papa, gone angels will have to do for now. Lord have mercy in my dying days. There's been too much leaving, there's been too much shame. Left my babies in the cold. Now my heart it aches, I've been growing old. Feel it rise up in to my throat. Lay these troubles down, lift my soul. I'm going to pray forgiveness, let me go. Pray my children and their children know not to do what I have done, but let go. Lay these troubles down, lift my soul, lift my soul, lift my soul up and over the river. That old Rogue River, lift up and over the river. That old Rogue River.
The band Elephant Revival is Bonnie Payne, Sage Cook, Dango Rose, Daniel Rodriguez, and Bridget Law. They were in the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF earlier this month before they played at George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville. Tomorrow night, they'll be at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville as part of Art Night Out. The entire event begins tomorrow night at 8. Elephant Revival is scheduled to take stage at 9:30. If you'd like to know more about the band, elephantrevival.com.
A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, this is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Prairie Grove.
Prairie Grove. Beautiful little place, Prairie Grove. KUAF is supported by Pack Rat Outdoor Center in Fayetteville, dedicated to environmental responsibility and serving the area for 40 years. Pack Rat offers a selection of footwear, canoes, and kayaks and camping gear, plus urban and outdoor clothing. A fan page available on Facebook or packratoc.com for an events calendar or more information.
Author Nora Gallagher presents Looking Vulnerability in the Eye this Friday at St. Paul's Episcopal Church on East and Dixon Streets in Fayetteville. The opening reception begins at 6:30 with a lecture at 7 p.m. This event is free to the public.
And, you know, I just said Prairie Grove was a beautiful little place. I didn't mean that to be condescending. I mean, it's 5,000 people or something. It's a beautiful place.
I'm sure nobody was offended.
Well, just in case.
Okay.
Did not mean to be condescending because I really like Prairie Grove.
Okay.
It was KUAF Night at the Naturals last night. It was kind of cold, but thanks for coming out, everybody.
Yes, thanks to everyone who came out and hung out with us in our section and had some food fair, baseball park fair, to nibble on, and enjoyed the game. Sorry the Naturals did not win, but I think everybody still had a good time.
I think so.
We appreciate everybody coming out.
Maybe we'll do it again.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. I should tell you that Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Our theme is written and performed by Daryl Sean. Weekend Ozarks at Large comes your way Sunday morning at 9. Christina Thomas will be with me. You and I back together on Tuesday.
That's right.
Okay. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.